So as I said earlier, our goal today is for you to just have an outrageous time here. So whatever it takes, you just let us know what you need, what you want, and we'll make sure it happens for you. So this weekend, I received 3 invitations to LinkedIn and 2 to Facebook. And because I knew this moment was coming, I went on this weekend and built out my LinkedIn profile so I could be a good leader. Because I'm one of those folks who's really going to benefit from this panel because I really don't know a whole lot about it. So I've built out my profile, and I'm really looking forward to this group of people telling me how I can leverage using that profile professionally. Jason Hull is the moderator of this panel. And Jason is one of 3 principals and owners of Open Source Connections, which is a team of passionate programmers who use rigorous software development processes to deliver critical customer outcomes. I have had the great good fortune not only of working with Jason Hull, but also to attend a social networking presentation that he gave last year, and it was really wonderful. I know you'll get a lot out of this discussion. There will be a question and answer period. Please know, no question is a dumb question. In fact, I might be asking what you might consider really, really dumb questions. So please, just lay it out there. This group is here to help you leverage social networking to your advantage. Thank you very much.
Thank you to the Chamber, the Business Women's Roundtable, and the Quadruplicity team for having us here today as we talk about social media. I'm sure many of you, as I did from Jennifer Till, receive LinkedIn requests. Yeah, funny how that works. You've probably heard some teenager talk about MySpace or Facebook. You might have even heard about social media in the news. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone out there is Twittering this panel discussion. Social media, once the realm of giddy teenagers, has splashed into the mainstream, and we're here today to discuss how you can ride that wave in your professional careers. I'm here today to moderate the discussion about how to turn social media into professional networking. Joining me today are Polly Black, Brian Sable, and Mary Jean Jaggers. Polly Black is the Chief Marketing Officer of Boldmouth, a social media agency here in Charlottesville. Polly is a Darden grad and has spent most of her career in consumer marketing with major corporations working on well-known brand names such as Lay's, Cheetos, Hanes, and Levalore. More recently, she has successful 8 years as a strategic consultant. Her decision to get into social media was in part due to a desire to keep up with her teenage sons. And she is happy to report that she is able to surprise them at their own game from time to time. Polly's going to talk to us today about managing your personal brand online, perhaps especially relevant to us in this tough economic environment. Polly Black.
I'm going to talk about social media and building your personal brand. And then we're going to have Brian talk about it in the context of small businesses. And we're also going to talk about it in the context of doing it at work. So that's kind of what you're going to hear is 3 different sections. So if my section doesn't seem to answer some of your questions, it's probably because it's coming in the next section along. What I wanted to talk about today was how your presence appears online and, you know, what that means and how you can manage that to promote yourself, whether it's socially or whether it's for business purposes or whether it's, you know, to leverage it to get another job, frankly, in these economic times. So this is kind of a sort of fun mock definition here with the social media. But it's people using decentralized, people-based networks to get the things they need from one another rather than from traditional institutions like business and media. And when I say things, things is perhaps sort of a catch-all term here. And what it really means is, yes, information, certainly. Information perhaps that they wouldn't get from a company about products or services and what the experience is of using those products and services. It's also connectivity. It's also communication. It's also the ability to share. It's also a whole bunch of things. So when I'm saying things, it's really more than just the going online to find out a fact or to find out some piece of information. It's really much more than that, because people use it as a way to stay in touch, a way to nurture themselves, a way to keep, as Jennifer was saying, a way to keep their lives in balance in a world when they don't necessarily have the time to do that in physical presence all the time. So most of us participate to some degree. Lots of people have, Jason's handing me the slides on a cheat sheet here so I can actually read them, but I think maybe with my eyes I'm almost better reading them off the screen. YouTube, 5 billion views daily, average about 3 minutes. When you think about how many that is, that's a huge amount of time. 8 hours of video uploaded every minute to YouTube. So if you have a desire to watch what's on YouTube, you will never get through it. Wikipedia, 10 million articles plus. That counts all the languages, not, you know, 2+ going on 3 in English, but that's a huge amount. And wikis are a way of participating where if you have information on something, you can actually sign in and edit the articles yourself. I mean, it's a contribution of the masses to explain what that thing is that's in the Wikipedia encyclopedia. And everybody can contribute, and so it's really a group effort to share information and knowledge across the world. Facebook, 10 billion photos, 113 million blogs, 73% of active online users have read a blog, 39% subscribe to an RSS feed, and other fun facts. Social networking sites, says Time magazine, are officially more popular than porn sites now. At least they get more clicks initially. Although, with the amount of stuff there is when you click through on some of those sites, I'm not sure that the two aren't very intertwined. So just to have a little bit of fun, I'd like a show of hands just to see kind of where everyone is. So who belongs to a social network? And by a social network, I mean something like Facebook, Twitter, okay, good, so most of us. Who uses the internet to find out about products and services? Okay, all of us, right? Who subscribes to a site regularly, has an RSS feed or something? Maybe about half. Who posts content, product reviews, blogs, videos? That's about down to maybe a quarter or a little less. Who has Googled their own name? Oh, good, good. A lot of you have Googled your own name. If you haven't Googled your name, go Google it. You'll be surprised what you find out. So I'm glad that says that a lot of people are really participating a lot, and you've already kind of really plugged into this in quite a big way already. So I wanted to talk really about some of these specific things. I mean, everything that gets out there on the web about you stays out there on the web about you. And so you want to be careful about what you put out. Sure, you can edit things and change them, and you can regulate who views them and who doesn't and some of those things. But in the end, if you post up pictures or you post up videos or other people post up pictures of you, they're there, and they're going to stay there. So these things are sort of some of the sites that you can use to manage your personal brand. And the differences between them, LinkedIn is a very professional sort of business network. It's the headline on LinkedIn is you would use it to network for connections when you want to find a job, or connections when you want to build your business and you're trying to find out if there's somebody you want to pitch a company and you want to find out if you know somebody at that company or somebody you know knows somebody at that company, and those kinds of things. He already went to LinkedIn. Great. Well, so when you're on LinkedIn, and Jason, I guess, is going to be my cohort in crime here in terms of showing you what's up here. But when you're on LinkedIn, you get an opportunity on your profile to load up your resume, certainly, in terms of who, you know, what you've done, what your experience is, and one thing and another. And you get, so here's Jason, and he's got who he is, and you can get recommendations. And if you are really seriously looking to use it to build your business or build your own personal brand in terms of getting a job or getting a reputation for something. It is important to get recommendations if you can, and that's asking, you send a link, I mean you can click on it and you can actually send a link through LinkedIn to somebody you know who you've worked with in the past or you've known in the past for something, and they can write a recommendation for you and it gets posted up there. And people do read those and do look at them. I mean, I've had people say that when they're evaluating people for new jobs, they do go look at what other people have said about working with them. And then you can put up your website, you can put up who you are, you can put up your blog. If you have one, you can put up your personal blog and so on. And your connections are the people that you know. And you can actually upload your address list from Microsoft or your Apple address list into it, and it will sort of populate to see if there is anybody in that address list that you haven't actually friended up. And then you can send them a link and say, and it goes with a little email, you can say, yeah, I want to do this. And I want you to be a friend of mine. And then you can, the more connections you have, you know, the more sort of bigger your network is. I found that for the close-in connections, the what they call the first degree, the people that I actually personally know, it doesn't make much difference. Because I pick up the phone and call those people anyway, because I personally know them, right? For the third degree connections, the people who know somebody that I know, who knows somebody, you know, one removed, so it would be like, if I know Jason, and Jason knows Brian, and Brian, yeah, then that would be a third degree connection. If Brian then knew somebody else, that would be my third degree connection. That's too far, and I generally find that if you're trying to get a reference or a referral to a third degree, it's further than anybody's comfortable with, because there's nobody who knows the two of you in common. You know somebody, they know somebody, and those two people know each other. But it's too far removed for people to really feel comfortable about recommending you or giving you the connection. So I've generally found that third degree is kind of spurious, and first degree is irrelevant because you know it. But the key is the second degree, because that is where I know Jason, and Jason knows someone. And Jason knows both the someone and the me, and he is willing to call that person and say, I know Polly, I work with her all the time. You should really talk to her. And that is a strong connection. So it's the second degree connections that are valuable. To get the second degree connections, you need to load up as many first degree connections as you think you can reasonably do and want to do. And so that's why it's valuable to maybe upload your personal address book from your Microsoft Office or Outlook or whatever. Then, that's mainly the way I use this. You can link your blog to it, you can do some other stuff to it, but I mainly use it just as I go on it really only to find people when I want to find a connection. And the other thing is, if people change their profile and you're a friend of theirs, it will send you a little ping saying, this person has updated their profile, they're now at such and such company. And so, if they have changed, and in this day and age that's going to happen quite a bit, you can kind of keep track of where your friends are, and they may move to a company that you've been looking to get an into, and you know, then they're there, and you can leverage that contact. Then I wanted to look at Facebook. On Facebook, the difference between Facebook and LinkedIn is that Facebook is more about your personal life and your personal connections and your friends, okay? It's about connecting with people that you know and care about. And you can post up on your profile and on updating on your site what you're doing. You can post up pictures of your family. You can post up pictures of a vacation you took if you want to. You can talk about stuff that's going on. You can post a message on a friend's wall. I had a friend just the other day who was looking for somebody to pick up their kid after school, and they posted up on their Facebook page, and sure enough, they got a response almost immediately from another person saying, oh, I'll pick up the kid. So, you know, it can work that way, but that depends on somebody happening to have seen that you had posted that. And you can regulate quite a bit. There's lots. I won't go into sort of all the pages of where this happens on here, but there is an opportunity on Facebook to go in and kind of regulate on your profile, on your settings, what you want people to see and what you don't want people to see. And you can have it set fairly generally so that people can see most things. And then you can create groups within that, where you can say, okay, but these are the people I work with, so I don't really want them seeing all the messages my friend posts on the board. So I'm going to form a group, and in that group, I'm going to put in that bucket all the people that are my work people. And they're going to be able to see maybe, you know, my general profile or my status update or something like that, but I'm not going to have them see, you know, the personal pictures I'm posting up or my wall. They can't post messages to me on the wall or something like that. So you can sort of regulate a little bit who sees what on the Facebook page. But this Facebook is more about staying connected with people you know and people from past lives who you've separated with maybe a little bit and then you want to reconnect with them. So that's what that network is more about. Here's friends of Jason's and things they've posted on the wall.
Well, I thought here. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so go back to the, where were you, back on the other slide? No, on the, there you go. No, okay, now stop clicking for a minute, Jason. YouTube is really just a site to be able to upload videos. So if you want to share videos out or you see something funny, you could upload videos. You can also tag videos or pull them onto your Facebook page so other people who come to your Facebook page can see that video and get a laugh out of it too and pass the link along to a friend. Flickr is the same idea but for photographs as opposed to videos. Google, I guess you guys all know about. Twitter, I'm going to come back to in a minute. MySpace is different from Facebook. It's also about connecting kind of on a more social level and a less business level. But it's different from Facebook in that it's really more about connecting with communities of interest, connecting with other people that you may or may not know, but who share a passion for something you share a passion for. So if you have a BMW and you absolutely adore BMWs, you can connect to a BMW group and you can share BMW stories and well, whatever it is that is your particular thing. And then WordPress is really, you can do websites on WordPress, you can do blogs. Most people use WordPress for blogs. You can have a personal blog and you can have a business blog that you have for your own business. If you have a personal blog, though, it's kind of neat, and in this day and age, people expect to know a little bit about you personally as well as a sort of strict business person. And there isn't so much separation in the crazy, overlapped, convoluted lives we lead between your personal life and your business life. And so people sort of do expect to know a little bit about you socially. So if you have a personal blog and you kind of put up things that you did, the vacation you went on or something funny you found or something crazy your three-year-old said to you the other day, those kinds of things, people get a chuckle out of those, and they do. I will say, though, with blogs, two things about blogs. One is that if it becomes a chore, don't do it, because what you're writing won't be worth reading. It won't have the energy behind it that people want to see in a blog. And the other is, if you do want to do it, be prepared to do it regularly, because if you don't do it regularly, then it sort of falls off the face of the earth. If you only update it once every few months, you're basically just talking into the wind. So Twitter is the one I wanted to come back to, and then I think my time is probably up. Twitter is the is kind of like a microblog. So it's really just a way to put out kind of updates in like a text message. It has about that length, and you can Twitter a message as to what you're doing or what you think about something. It started out being a lot of people sitting around Twittering about, oh, my God, I'm sitting in this boring quadripristly meeting and listening to this stupid English woman doing this it's a ridiculous speech, and it's terrible. Or, wow, I'm sitting in this wonderful quadruplicity meeting listening to this fabulous English woman doing this great speech, and it's wonderful, you should be here. So there's a remarkable arrogance about the idea that anybody would really care, right? but since then, and so when I started on it, I thought, oh, gosh, this really isn't that much fun. Since then, I actually have ended up following a number of friends, and I have started also, who use it for a different purpose. They use it to send out, hey, I found this that's interesting. So I found this website, check it out, or I found this fun fact, or I found this, I just discovered that if you do, you know, Shift-Alt-5, you can do this, you know. So for people who, there started to be tech groups that kind of form around sharing information with each other, and there started to be women groups who kind of form around following each other and share tips about balance of life and other things like that. And indeed, we could probably even form up such a group and kind of do things amongst the women here if we wanted to, and kind of follow each other and share tips about how balance of life is working for us, and some ways that we're able to handle that and keep all the plates spinning in a reasonable way so none of them fall off the pole and crash. So that is the kind of way that it is emerging now, and I think that is actually a really useful application for on a personal basis. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, a few of the ones that will help you manage your personal brand. But there are a gazillion, and this is only the slide that just captures a small microcosm of all the ones there are. But there are ones that deal with search engines and podcasts and tagging and wikis and social networks, as we've been talking about, and blogs and other things. So it really is a question, if you don't know and you're not sure, the only thing I can say is jump in and explore, okay? Go there and find out, and then start asking other people, well, what have you found? Do the social networking thing. Check in with your friends and say, well, what have you found useful? And then go explore those sites and do those kinds of things. So I hope that's been helpful to you in terms of personal brand. I'll hand it back to Jason for his introduction of Brian.
Thank you, Polly. Next will be Brian Sable. Brian is a creative manager at World Strides and an adjunct faculty member. He's probably a facility member, too. An adjunct faculty member at the University of Virginia's School of Continuing and Professional Studies, where he teaches social media and blog writing. At World Strides, he manages integrated marketing communication campaigns for a variety of travel education programs. His work in new media has been featured on international, national, and regional publications and websites, including the Electronic Literature Organization and the Roanoke Times. And after today, probably the Daily Progress. Before teaching at UVA, he taught English and creative writing at Virginia Tech for 3 years. He holds a Master of Fine Arts in English Creative Writing from Virginia Tech and a Bachelor of Science degree in Journalism from West Virginia University. Brian is going to talk to us about social media for small business.
Hi, how's everybody doing today? Good. Excellent. Now that we had a basic overview of what social media is, I'm going to talk a little bit about how companies are using this to reach their customers and how they're using it for relationship building. This is a powerful tool for a variety of different ways. First, we're going to cover public relations, relationship building, customer service. We're going to go into a little bit of consumer-generated media, who's talking about you and why, and how companies are enhancing their brand presence. All of these are somewhat related, but this is just how some companies are handling this medium. Let's cover public relations first. From a PR standpoint, this is probably the most important. Blogging and podcasting and videocast are probably the most important tool for spreading good news about your company. It makes it easy, well, first of all, through these mediums, you don't no longer have to wait for a news organization. Actually, I'm going to put this up because it's... You no longer have to wait for a news organization, such as a newspaper, a magazine, radio station, NPR, or a TV station to cover your company. It also allows you to brand yourself as an expert. You can highlight topics of your own success. You can create and broadcast your own material. Increase your presence in markets you wouldn't consider otherwise. And once bad news arises, which occasionally does, as everybody here has a lot of hands were raised when they said they comment on features and comments in blogs and everything. When bad news arises, you have a collection of good news to fall back on. So let me take a moment to go over some successful campaigns. Here is an example of a small business called DD Med in Southern California. And she started out just blogging and doing video casts of something that she loves. She loved Mediterranean food and creating recipes. And she started sharing them over the internet. She started showing people how to make meals. And suddenly, her whole business just took off. It launched an online store where she sells food. And she now has a business, a restaurant based out of Hollywood. And she reaches over 2,500 people a day, which is fascinating. If you think about it, someone who started out just writing and creating media for something that she absolutely loved, she's suddenly reaching millions and millions of people a year. And this has launched an entire career. And I can't emphasize enough, if you love something, blog about it. If you love something, create a video. And you can be an expert in your field. You can be labeled as, you can reach millions of people, influence their lives, and enhance your business presence. Okay, if you look up like a strong brand over the internet, in the books, one thing that you might come across is, say, Harley Davidson. Harley Davidson is a strong brand. Because why? Because people are willing to tattoo themselves with the logo. It's a little crazy. I don't know where your business is at right now, but how many people have someone who has tattooed their company logo onto their arm? Raise their hand. None? One? Okay, you might not be at that area yet, but what you can do, you can set up a Facebook page, a fan page, and people can declare their loyalty to your company. They can declare that they are a fan of you, or of your organization. They can declare, show all their friends on their Facebook profile, or MySpace, or other organizations, Twitter. They can declare that they're a loyal follower of your company. They can brand themselves with your organization. Here's an example of a company, EF, which is actually a competitor of mine, World Strides. But they have over 4,000 people who have declared their loyalty to their organization. That's 4,000 students and teachers who are telling everybody that they know that they're a fan of them. You can communicate with this group, something you can't do with someone who just puts a tattoo on their arm. You can communicate with these people that have branded themselves with your company. You can invite them to participate in events, be a part of your community, and you can just create a dialogue, answer questions and feedback they have. Twitter, which was briefly covered, is a small blogging tool, a microblogging tool, and It has quickly evolved into a way to build relationships and to share information. Some companies, a lot of them, here's an example of Comcast, are using it for customer service. And you can use this, a lot of these social media tools for the same thing, customer service, in a creating a dialogue with your customers. Comcast addresses issues directly online from their Twitter page to answer questions related to their service and other topics of interest. If you can't really tell from this screen, but they have over 8,000 people that are following them online. And when they initially launched this, they were just bombarded with hate comments. A lot of it were like, your service sucks. there's a lot of nodding in the audience. But there's a lot of people just like expressing anger, frustration with them. But they've used this as an opportunity to directly interact with their customers. They use it to answer questions and most recently limit public relations, pub, public relations disasters, such as after the Super Bowl when during the Super Bowl when pornographic material was accidentally broadcast over the air. They were responding directly online, and they were addressing the issue right from there. So consumer-generated media, this is media that your customers, people that review your products, create. We can't prevent this, but we can create an environment where it's more likely that people will have positive feedback about your brand or company. We can make it more easily available just by interacting on the web with these companies or with your customers. You're creating goodwill, and when you're creating that positive environment, and when bad news arises, it's like a drop of water in the bucket. You're limiting that exposure. So what happens when consumer-generated media turns bad? Companies need to know how to respond quickly and effectively. You can do this. So the internet is vast. How do you figure out who's talking about you and when? You can do this by setting up a Google Alerts page or Google Alerts. And this will email you anytime your company or a word related to your industry is referenced. And you can find out who's speaking about you. You can also set up RSS feeds, which was kind of covered briefly. You can set them up for Twitter and blog search results, and you can pull in onto a page for your own viewing at your own convenience references to your company or industry. So how do you limit bad exposure? This small company called Room 214, it's a small internet-based company out of San Francisco, had a college intern contact on Twitter a teacher who was using the Twitter name Room 214, and they threatened the intern threatened to sue the teacher for the name. It didn't really go over too well. First of all, the teacher responded by commenting like he panicked. Here's this big bad corporation, which wasn't really the case for 214. But he said, this corporation's threatening to sue me. They're bullying me around. And quickly, 214 got labeled as a teacher bully. Blogs were written about them. They were posted on Dig, which is a social media news site. And general comments were spread all over the internet, bad comments related to 214. Eventually, Kevin Rose, who was recently featured in Time magazine, or I think it was Time, on the cover of it, commented on it and said, 214's kind of acting unprofessional. So how would you respond to over 2,000 people seeing negative comments about your company or organization within an hour? This is what 214 did, and I think it was an excellent job. They responded quickly. They immediately went to the sources of the bad news being spreaded, where it was being spread. They went on Dig, and they apologized. They went to the teacher, they apologized. They went on Twitter. They went where the video was filmed of Kevin Rose, and they basically recorded their own video response and linked it back. Eventually, people started sticking up for the company online. Their own response was spread all over the internet, and just almost as quickly as this firestorm of bad criticism arose, it was extinguished. So they turned basically a bad PR PR situation into an opportunity that highlighted their company as, well, not a teacher bully. So what are the benefits of social networks? Social networks allows the customer or consumer to communicate with you in a medium that they are comfortable with. If your customer is more comfortable asking you a question on Facebook or MySpace or Twitter than picking up the phone and calling you, why not allow them? Why not be there and make yourself available to answer that question? It allows consumers to reach out to you for relationship building. They can declare their loyalty or they're a fan of your product. They can create a dialogue for you, with you, And as we know, relationships equals loyalty equals a more steady stream of revenue. And probably the most important thing is link generation and buzz over the internet. What we know about Google and Yahoo is that they recognize buzz over the internet, and they reward you for that, websites for that. So the more relevant links that are pointing to your website, the more links that you're creating out there through your customers and people that are linking and finding your site relevant, the higher you're going to appear in your Google search ranking. And with that, probably the most important thing is more customers that are actively searching for your product will find you. People are much more likely to click on the very first search result than they are to go down 2-3 pages into a search. Basically, that is it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Next is, and not least, is Mary Jean Jaggers. She's a vice president with Standing Partnership, a reputation management firm with an office in Charlottesville. Mary Jean has been working with social media tools and advising clients on social media integration into marketing and communications plans for more than 10 years. Mary Jean is going to talk to us about social networking at work, how to make yourself that indispensable person in the office.
Hi. So are you feeling just a little overwhelmed at the moment? There's an awful lot of things out there, and I saw a lot of hands for LinkedIn and Facebook, but less as that continuum of tools progressed. We talk about the social media continuum of tools like this, and I know you've seen a lot of graphics today that have shown the different tools, but this is how we find that companies and individuals come to the different tools and progress through using them. So connecting together, discovering content about your organization or yourself, and as Polly was talking about Googling yourself, I can go you one better. I've got an ego feed, which means that I have an RSS feed alert that tells me when anybody talks about me. Because that's how into myself I am. It's important in managing your personal brand, right? Collaborating is Wikipedia and wikis, and whether you know it or not, you've probably used some kind of collaborative tool at work. Google Documents is also considered a wiki because it's something that people can collaborate and edit together on, and I know a lot of people have used that. And then you get to the point of publishing. So you're taking control of your own destiny there. And actually, and that's, you know, what we've talked about a little bit there, is that self-publishing has become the new media. So when we first started talking about social media, we talked about new media. It's all just media now, really. The social interaction piece is what has become the new atmosphere, also known as the blogosphere. But what we do when we work with clients or individuals is connect all of these tools and use them in the most effective, strategic way possible. We really believe in the integration of all of these tools. So if you just have Facebook, and then you begin to have a blog, you integrate your blog posts by posting them on Facebook. If you have a Twitter account, you should integrate your Twitter posts into your Facebook updates. So everything connects together. Use all of the tools at once and save yourself a lot of time and effort. I'm talking specifically about social media at work and baby steps that you can take right now, today. Now, you're feeling like, okay, I don't have time for all of this. This is too much. People have sent me LinkedIn invitations. I don't really know how to sit down and work through that. I'm going to challenge everybody in this room to take about a half an hour in the next week or so and sit down and look at LinkedIn look at it and get it up to date. Make sure that your contacts are put in there, that your resume is current on there. You may not have changed jobs in a long time, but you may have earned an award or a designation or joined a board. Make sure that's on there and that you're connected with the people in your community and your industry that are important to you. Start looking at key people you want to meet and with whom you'd like to do business. I see a lot of people out here that I would like to connect to, and I want to make sure that we're connected through Facebook or LinkedIn. Quadruplicity did a great thing in posting this event on Facebook, so I could see before I even came here who I know that's going to be here too. And that's exciting. I really find that social networking in particular has eliminated for me that anxiety of going to in-person networking events where I know no one. I came to Charlottesville 3 years ago, and I'm not a shy person, but it does make me a little apprehensive to come into a room where I don't know anybody, and I've got to get out there and say, hi, I'm Mary Jean Jaggers, and this is what I'm into, and what are you into, and making friends that way. But if I can develop a relationship with somebody online before I come into that room, and I know what they look like and a little bit about them, there is such an increased degree of comfort, I can't even tell you. You feel like you already have a friend before you even come into the room. And then they introduce you to their friends, and it's all good. Ask for introductions through LinkedIn or Facebook. Ask people to connect you. People really enjoy being connectors. I love being able to say to someone, oh, you are... you're a knitter? I know a knitter. You guys should knit together. Or you're looking for a daycare provider? I know somebody that does daycare. I belong to the Charlottesville Working Moms Group. And if you want to know more about that, you can Google me or email me, and I'll get you hooked up with that group. But that's been a really dynamic group, and there's an email network with that group. And I swear, once a week, somebody's asking for a pediatrician recommendation, someone to clean their home, someone to bail them out with daycare needs, something like that. And I'm one of the people in that group with older kids, so I can't always contribute to that conversation. But when they have a question about teenagers, they know they can come to me. Read people's websites or blogs and get to know them. So if there's somebody that you are trying to connect to, or you're about to meet with a new lead that you have, check out their blog. You may find out that their grandmother just passed away. And if you come in all, you know, insensitive and not realizing where they are in their lives, that's not good. Or they just went on vacation to a place that you've been to use that as a connection and talk to them about that. Show an interest, sincerity, and transparency, that's the big word, right, is really what's valued these days in these online relationships. And I think I already covered that. Look at who's attending the same events and reach out to offer to save them a seat or you know, connect with them at lunchtime. Let people get to know you as well. So, you know, don't be afraid to say to people, hey, I'm a blogger. This is my blog. In fact, my blog is St. Louis Working Mom, stlworkingmom.com. And let people into your network. It's just as important to let people know that you are willing to share with them about you. Create and find content of interest to their business. One great way to generate and nurture a relationship with a lead is to start monitoring their business, and when you find articles of relevance to their business, to shoot them that link. Find out if they're a member of Delicious, which is a social bookmarking tool, and you can share articles very easily with them within your Delicious network without having to clog up their email inbox. It's also a great way to catalog those articles of interest so that you don't have to go digging back through email to find them. We talked about being a connector. Create opportunities for IRL connections. Who knows what IRL is? Besides Jason Hall. In real life. That's important. I work from a home office, and especially in the winter time, I can go 2-3 days without seeing another human being, except for my family. And that can be very de-energizing, very draining. And it's very important to me as a social person to get out there and see real humans, even if it means just sitting at Panera and working so that I'm around other live human beings. It's been a challenge of mine and something that I've committed to at least once a week. I've got to make sure that I'm having a meeting with someone in person, lunch or coffee. So if anybody's free anytime, let me know. But those are important. I think it's important to everybody. And it really solidifies those relationships that begin online. Being valued as an employee has become more important these days when people are laying off and businesses flittering away. So being smart about your industry and being on top of what's going on in the community and being that resource as an employee of your organization can make you extremely valuable and hopefully promotable, right? Or at least continued employable. You can use a feed reader to stay on top of current news, and I'll tell you, it is the most efficient way to stay on top of news. Are you guys familiar with what we're talking about when we talk about feed readers and RSS? Okay. Two really popular tools for this are Blog Lines and Google Reader. These are simply website tools that allow you to plug in a website that offers an RSS feed. And all that is a little bit of code within the website that allows you to subscribe to it when it has updates. So you don't have to go back to www.whatever to find out if there's something new on that website. Almost every media website has RSS feeds now. Blogs universally have RSS feeds and are very easy to subscribe to. And the way that you can read them when they're in a feed reader like that is that they just let you know when there's something new. So rather than having the interruption technology of getting an email subscription where you're stopping what you're doing because you got a new email and you have to read this right now, no, you wait until you have the time to go through your subscriptions, and I recommend first thing in the morning, spend the first 20 minutes or so of your day going to your feed reader and quickly scanning through the news. What's great about Charlottesville is that we have an aggregated site called SevilleBlogs.com. You can subscribe to just that one feed and see all of the updates for all of the blogs in this community. And SevilleBlogs.com. By subscribing to just that one feed, you can quickly see what's going on in this community and find specific people of interest that you want to follow and keep updated with. Twitter. I use Twitter professionally and personally. One thing I use it for, and I am in reputation management and public relations, so staying on top of breaking news. I saw come over on Twitter the Hudson River plane crash 10 minutes before it was on CNN. And so I was able to share that news with my clients who are in the airline industry and respond to that and start drafting content about the public response to it, because that's something that we watch very carefully in our industry. So that's one way that I've used Twitter. The second way is that I follow a lot of people within the Charlottesville community, and occasionally we have tweet-ups where we all meet for lunch in real life. And what a bunch of really interesting, smart people. So it's been fun to use that kind of tool to develop that into those in-person relationships. That's it. Thank you.